A little moment of movie magic there with the Australian band Then Jericho, of course, and Big Area. Now, the big question is, will our ace director extraordinaire from the joys of Los Angeles, will he be able to actually remind us from which classic movie that was actually taken from, which soundtrack? I mean, I've got a lot of faith in this, Phil. I think if anybody will be able to identify that question, you could actually have that magical moment. But Phil Leonis, first of all, are you there?
Yay! Wow, I didn't know I was already going to have to be paying attention.
I'm going to go with
Neverending Story, just because that's always my fallback.
Yeah, a nice try, but it's same kind of era, actually. So you're in the kind of the, you're talking about the mid to late 80s. We're talking about a movie which starred Mark Hamill and Bob Peck.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob Peck portrayed an android, and that particular moment where effectively we had the soundtrack of Big Area and Then Jericho was where they had a kind of helicopter that was sort of working through the whole thing. It's a one-word title. It begins with the letter S.
Wow.
Oh, dear. That's something to test Dean Haglund about.
I have no idea.
Well,
wow.
Leslie, no?
The only thing I can think of, which I know is Star Wars, of course. No, that's not right.
No, indeed. Francesca?
No.
No. And yet, Francesca, in a few moments' time, you're going to go mano a mano, but certainly head to head with Phil Leonis about his outrageous notion that he's given the latest Harry Potter 4 out of 5 rather than what you're saying should be a 5 out of 5. That's
yes.
Okay. Well, Phil's sort of going to be getting yourself up for that. Any ideas, Jodie Orton?
Can
what
I have
movie?
A bit more of a clue, please? Because you know what a film buff I am.
One word title begins with S and ends in M. It's about climactic change. And as I say, Bob Peck does play an android. It's one of the rare non-Star Wars...
I know what it is.
Yeah?
The M gave it away. I bet I know. Am I allowed?
Yeah, go on, Phil.
Slipstream?
Yes, exactly. Slipstream. Sometimes I think that movie classics are just sort of just put to one side, really, and just taken to another line entirely. I can tell
you know what confused me. You know what confused me was your kindness in actually calling it a movie.
I enjoyed it. In other words, there was some nice movements there. The idea was effectively that the climate had changed. In many ways, it was kind of like a budget version of Waterworld without the water, and basically dealing with the air and obviously Slipstream and so on.
Indeed. You know, my favorite story about Waterworld is when Roland Emmerich was making his version of Godzilla, and he got up on set because he was getting so frustrated with the delays of him shooting on set, and he got up and all the crew members saw him smelling the air. He was sniffing the air, and he suddenly shouted out, "I smell Waterworld."
Yeah.
Because he was convinced he was making a bomb.
Life continues, and Godzilla, obviously. I mean, he did actually star Matthew Broderick as an action hero, which many people would have said is a bit of a quirky sort of take in any case, but he is Matthew Broderick, and life continues. Phil, I have to do a public on-air apology. I did say I'd actually do this because when last we attempted to connect with you on Independence Day, July the 4th, we didn't give you sufficient chance to actually move from the restroom to the actual telephone to pick up the telephone number, and we vacated the studio before we could even take the answer phone message to say, I'm here.
Yeah, we actually did speak on Independence Day. I think it was maybe as soon as I got back to Los Angeles we were trying to speak. And look at what hell we have wrought,
exactly.
By keeping us apart, I'm convinced that the world just spun off its axis.
We're talking about
massacres in Norway, trains colliding in China, Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
I mean, what... I feel partially responsible for
it. Well, Phil, thank heavens that Leonis and Levchuk, the axis has been restored, and certainly the centre of the universe can be said to be in a safer place this evening, I feel.
At least for a few minutes.
Exactly. Indeed. Exactly so. Amy, let's move over to Francesca. Fran, any particular aspects? Because I know you were a little bit concerned that Phil was only giving a 4-star rating for the Harry Potter, or as we refer to him, HP7B.
Do we?
Oh, Harry Potter 7 Part B.
Right.
HP7B.
But yes, after seeing it, I would definitely give it 5 stars. Why did you want to give it 4, Phil?
I don't think I said that it... I think I maybe predicted I would give it 4, but I hadn't seen it. And having seen it, I would absolutely give it 5. And I would say that it's the crown jewel in the series. If you are a fan of the Harry Potter series, it is every bit the achievement that Return of the King was, I think, for Lord of the Rings fans. It's that major an achievement.
Well, there we are. He can't go any further than that.
I think he's just trying to get out of an argument, you know.
I'm sorry, Fran, but there's an even more exciting... I mean, today we've already had several exciting things on the show. We've had the launch of the Annette Andre website, AnnetteAndre.com, AnnetteAndre.com. Fantastic. We've had Liz Brewer's party handbook. We've had the notion that we're giving not one but 2 tickets away to a Scouting for Girls and Lulu concert tomorrow for a question which will be running around about 9:30 tomorrow morning on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Could it get even more exciting? We've covered the BP oil spillage with Tom Bergen. Well, yes, it darn well can, because available on DVD and shortly on Blu-ray, what fantastic movie can people shortly get their hands on, Phil Leonis?
Never-ending story.
Oh, the truth.
That's always going to be my fallback.
All right, five words. First word, the. Okay. Concluding word, there. Okay. So it's the and there. What have we got? 5 words.
It is indeed my pleasure to point out that in the UK and the European Union and the United States of America. Which, for my money, is still one of the top 5 countries in the world, no matter what I may say. The Truth is out there, starring your samurai of truth, Mr. Dean Haglund from The X-Files. The Truth is out there is available on DVD, on 2-disc collector's edition DVD, and indeed, within a month, on Blu-ray. And it's available exclusively in those territories through one website, truth-is-out-there.com. Truthisoutthere.com with a whole bunch of dashes in between the words.
See, it's quite important that message is actually put across. In a few moments, Phil, we're going to be talking Americana, we're going to be talking about Comic Cons, we're going to talk about a whole variety of other bits and pieces. I know Jodie's got questions to ask you about writing and the way to actually channel writing, etc. But a movie which I'm looking forward to, I must admit, you know, it's released in Britain on Friday, and I managed to see Transformers Dark of the Moon, which I thought was pretty good. Buzz Aldrin appearing there. The real reason, obviously, why America actually ended its trip to the moon back in 1972, which is fair enough. But this next little excerpt, Phil, is something which I almost, even as a British chap, almost made me want to stand up and salute this. So 2:54 of what I'm sure will actually be seen as probably Chris Evans' final... Oh, is it Chris Evans? Yes, it is Chris Evans. I know he's a Radio 2 chap who does a morning show as well. But I'm thinking about the chap who... Jodie, the chap who was the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four and takes the lead in this next sort of movie.
Is his name Chris Cooper?
No, it's not Chris Cooper.
It's Chris somebody.
It's only Chris somebody or other, etc. Yeah.
It is Chris Evans.
Yeah, I thought it was. You know, we've got waving from the delightful Georgia Brown, who's all set for the next show which he's doing, Phil, which you might be interested to know is all about the wonderful world of roller derby. Actually, no, she does Heaven Till 8, the roller derby people coming later. Anyway, Star Spangled Banner. Now, Phil, if that doesn't make you want to march forward across Hollywood Boulevard and throughout LA with that wonderful Star Spangled Banner, I don't know what will.
Indeed, I guess the answer is nothing will.
Exactly. Have you managed to catch the latest Captain America, the First Avenger movie as yet?
I was too busy giving a five-star review to Harry Potter.
There you are.
Part B. So, no, I missed it, but I am looking forward to seeing it, although there's another big genre film opening here this week called Cowboys and Aliens.
Cowboys and Aliens, Super 8. You know, it's the summer of alien invasions in all sorts of ways. You got Daniel Craig, you got Harrison Ford. What can you say? I mean, you know, all I can simply sort of observe is that the lengths that some actors will go to appear in a Phil Lynas movie, quite unbelievable, really, but still, life continues. In the latest edition of ChillPackHollywood.com, you kind of kept to the end the notion that you just may, be considering Gary Oldman working with your good self. Is that right?
It turns out that I have a very, very good connection with Gary Oldman. I've collaborated with on several occasions with one of his best friends, and we're trying to see if we can find a way to make it work to have him be in our next production. It's an interesting thought because the role that we would have him play is not something that's within his age. Although, when you're talking about Gary Oldman, what is that actor's age range? I mean, he's playing George Smiley in the remake of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
He played Dracula in the remake of Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula.
Indeed. Mm. And, again, kind of you to refer to that as a movie.
Well, there you are, you see. I always like
you
to feel.
Actually.
Yeah, we like to give a bit of positivity out across the airwaves. So anyway,
exactly. Whereas I hate to deal strictly in the positive, as you know, and it killed me giving a 5-star review. So you know, I've got to be really sarcastic and cheeky the rest of the time.
Very true. Jodie, questions for Phil.
Phil, I just wondered, sort of, when did you get into directing and writing? And because I'm quite interested in sort of the writing that goes on behind films and television, and I mean, how easy is it to...
I've suggested a few possible computer script writing programs to Jodie, but as yet she's not sort of taken that on board, you know?
Indeed, except that all of those computer script writing programs, I think, are responsible for writing many of the blockbusters that we've mentioned on this show today.
Indeed.
Jodie, I became very interested in writing and directing when I realized I had no marketable skills whatsoever, so I knew that I needed to go into show business. I'd been writing all my life. My first collection of short stories, which I still have, particularly proud of a short story about Star Trek that I wrote when I was 3.5, 4 years old. That's the earliest proof I have that I was interested in writing. Directing came much later. It really was when I saw the Wim Wenders film Wings of Desire that although I knew I was going to go into film, I didn't know that I had to be a director until I saw Wings of Desire and had to find out whether I was capable of ever creating something so meaningful and so beautiful. And what I like best about directing is that there are so many things I would have liked to have been able to do with my life, be a painter, be a dancer, a designer, an actor, a musician, so many things, but the limitations of time and, of course, talent force us to make choices. And the best thing about directing is that for periods of time, while working with these disparate artists in their myriad fields, I get to at least share in their process and get to feel for a brief period of time what it might have been like to have followed those pursuits. And directing allows you to come into contact with all of those different realms, if only in trying to create an environment where these artists you respect in their diverse fields feel comfortable trying to do something they've never done before.
Just have to point out we weren't bored with your question or response there, Phil. It was just a runaway train coming into play, so we just had the thought, let's just hold it out there. You know, we'll wait a few moments, all will be well from that perspective. So good stuff. Fran, questions for yourself.
Oh, Have you got any up-to-date Hollywood gossip for us then?
Any Hollywood gossip?
Yes.
From the co-presenter of chillpackhollywood.com, the fact that Femme Fatale has been renewed for another season, the fact that, you know, these show to actually sort of keep you abreast of not just Hollywood itineraries, but also to actually comment on the excitement of such things from the massacres, tragically, in Norway to bullet trains through to Amy Winehouse. I don't know, have you got any Hollywood gossip at all, Phil?
How about the fact that another Harry Potter film is already underway? And I am, of course, referring to the remake of the classic Troll, which featured a lead character, a young boy named Harry Potter, and his father, Harry Potter Sr. Mm. Are we impressed by that?
Worth asking. Wouldn't you know that?
Leslie.
Oh, okay, Phil. Well, I was going to ask you, what's your next film directing project? But I have a suggestion. How about this? Never-Ending Story, the sequel.
Well, there was a sequel. There was a Never-Ending story.
Well, all right, then. Yeah. The next sequel. Yeah. Was it First Blood, Second Blood?
It was Limahl, of course, who had the
honor. Oh, my God, First Blood. I love the Rambo movies. I love the Rambo movies, the First Blood, and all that, because of the error in counting. I loved that there was Rambo, and then there was Rambo First Blood, and then there was Rambo 3. You know, there was First Blood, then Rambo First Blood Part 2, and then all of a sudden Rambo 3, which should have been Rambo 2 First Blood Part 3. But anyway, but then again, nobody liked the math geek.
That's it.
It's important to work through that. Next week, of course, we have the fantastic Ilana Rain, who'll be joining us. She's the director of We Are All Cylons, dystopian TV revisited, and we'll be finding out about her sort of current sort of exploration of Battlestar Galactica fandom, trauma studies, and various other bits and pieces. So we sort of look ahead to that with excitement and anticipation. Of course, as we head through the day in Los Angeles, it'll shortly be coming around to midnight, and midnight in LA means it's 8 a.m. in UK time, and hopefully we'll be speaking to Fiona Hardingham once again tomorrow morning when we kick off the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, when we also, Phil, and I know this is going to excite you almost beyond words in terms of logging onto our websites, etc., but we will hopefully be featuring two of the cast of the docu-soap Jerseylicious. I thought you would be. Exactly. You know, I thought we'd keep it real on that basis. So, yes, Jerseylicious, Tracy and Olivia will actually be sort of up doing that whole routine from that point of view. And Olivia, just in case you've actually forgotten, Phil, is the lady who goes...
Hi, this is Olivia Blois from Jerseylicious, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
And she's called Olivia Blois, as we'll find out in the interview, because it's not because she's saying Blois, it's because actually her parents come from a part of France that actually was ruled by a king, Blois. I found it very difficult. I think I've heard the interview twice or three times now, and I'm still actually trying to come to terms with it. But it's exciting
How
stuff.
How did you get them? How did you get them? We've been trying desperately to get them on Chilpack Holiday.
Phil, we'll have to exchange details and we'll get these things sorted out. It's a coming together of great geniuses from that point of view. And I can certainly see that Tracy and Olivia would probably be sort of ideal to actually sort of join in the whole sequence. In fact, Tracy DeMarco, again, just for people who have actually forgotten her particular delivery, which is very much New Jersey.
Hi, my name is Tracy DeMarco from Jerseylicious, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
She got it in one take as well. That's an impressive thing. You know, I would have laid odds she would have taken lots of times to do it, but no, one take, bang, straight in there.
You know, you've never even had me. Have you ever had me?
Phil, yes, sir, and we're still working on the Phil Leonis jingle. Again, the guilt factor is coming over to the fore. So at this moment in time, I have to throw those last two questions at you. First of all, Phil Leonis, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us on the Midweek Drive today?
I think all of you were lovely. I have barely been able to tolerate myself during this.
Oh, big hug. Transatlantic hug coming across here to LA. Big hug. Teletubby hug. Yay. Can we look forward to seeing you again in the very near future, probably sometime in August?
That would be fantastic, of course.
And don't forget,
it's the only thing that keeps me my version of sane, Alex, is getting to look forward to talking to you and your guests.
Well,
anyway.
I shall leave you with a quote from Robert Louis Stevenson, Scottish novelist and poet, in case you were wondering. To be what we are and to become what we are capable of becoming is the only end in life. Choking with emotion, the whole thing. Thanks to Annette Andre, Liz...
You promised promised me you weren't going
to
cry.
I know. It's just so emotionally overwhelmed, really, to be back with the team once again. Thanks to Jodie Orton, Leslie Furman and Francesca Furman. Thank you, dear listener, for being with us for the last couple of hours or whatever length of time you spent with us on Siren 107.3 FM. And we will catch up with you again probably tomorrow morning between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. where we will be having the farmer in, James Barclay. And we can actually put the question that Michelle Munro asked us to, because she wants to ask James Barclay about his balls, which is fine. So, you know, if you want to find out a farmer's response in Lincolnshire when he's asked about his balls, then, you know, listen in tomorrow morning. You can listen online if you wish. It's be about just after midnight or 1 a.m. your time, Phil. Phil Leonis will return. Soul Asylum and Runaway Train are now set and ready to actually go. To the team, Jodie, Leslie and Francesca, thank you. Can you all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Farewell.